that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you live this morning, this April 7th, 2018, to a beautiful sunrise a few minutes ago here at the Radio Ranch. Partly cloudy, but just a nice orange hue there to the east, and the sun's trying to break through the clouds. Just a beautiful morning. Had a good word of prayer this morning, praising the Lord for another day. We welcome you here, and we'll bring the men on. They're here joining us. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit if you'd like to give a call in. Tons going on from earthquakes and floods out in the on the West Coast again to, well, the people in the East trying to cause their own type of disaster. I'm sure we'll get to some of that, but we better start out with a word of prayer. And John, we will certainly look to you for that, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for all of our many blessings, Father. We ask that you continue to bless us and keep us and make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us and grant us peace, Lord. Father, our desire is to serve you. We say, here we are, Lord. Use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? Father, I thank you for showing us in the last message in Passover about compassion and how you were the greatest example of that compassion and how we are to have that same compassion for our brothers and sisters in Christ and even for those that don't know you yet, Lord. Help us to tear down those walls, Lord. Help us to speak boldly as we ought to speak, as an ambassador in chains. Father, bring those people into our midst that we can witness the gospel that we can fulfill the Great Commission, that we can share the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Father, that's our purpose in this land, is to serve you. Father, our cup runneth over. We have much to be thankful for. Sometimes it's hard to even grasp how gracious and all the blessings that you have bestowed upon me and my family, for one thing. Forgive me, Lord, for the times that I take those things for granted. Forgive me for the times that I get too involved in the world and don't put you in the proper place, Lord, first in my life. I ask that you would just help me, Lord. Send your great helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide and direct me and give me wisdom and understanding. Father, I pray that for all your people out there, especially the patriarchs of the households, Lord. Grant us discernment, Father, so that we can see through the lies and that we can only see the truth. Your word says that in the last days knowledge would increase. Well, we ask for that promise, Lord, that you would continue to reveal to your people those things that are hidden within your living word. So today, as we come before the remnant, Father, there's so much going on in the world. There's no shortage of things to pray for, no shortage of things to pray against. We ask that you would just direct our thoughts, Lord, to the things that are important to your people. Father, show us how it ties into Scripture. Help us to continue to refine and master our use of all of these spiritual weapons that you've given us, Lord. The enemy knows there's only one thing standing in their way of victory, and that's the God-fearing followers of Jesus Christ, who will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. We are your people who are called by your name, and we do humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, and we turn from our wicked ways, Father, so that you can forgive our sin and heal this land. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, we will have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. Out on the West Coast, had a 5.3 on the Richter scale earthquake off the Southern California coast yesterday, Thursday maybe. So we still see the rumblings, that entire Pacific Rim. We've talked about that. That continues to be rumblings. And then, of course, in California, again, in the northern part, record rain is rolling in. And they're certainly concerned after the fires that they've had. It's, you know, the upper mountains, the snowpack's melting, and it's that time of the year out there. And then with record rains, record-setting rains again going on in Northern California. Flights canceled. First time in 12 years they had a ball game rained out up there in Northern California. And it's just a different type of weather for this time of year. And so we're seeing, you know, these changes. We've talked about that before, how things are not just the way they've always been. And then, of course, when you travel a little further east, you don't have so much of the weather, although they're having they've had their weather in the northeast. But I think to the east there's a different story that seems to be the biggie right now, and that's that Deerfield Village in Illinois basically says, and John, I think you sent me this email, banning what they call assault rifles, which is just a misnomer. That's just a category. It really does not accurately describe the majority of any type of firearm or gun that the people in this country have. But it's It's really just a the sky is falling type of yelling and screaming that the left does. But, yeah, turn in your guns, 60 days to surrender your, quote, assault weapon, or face fine of $1,000 per day. So that's in Deerfield. And, you know, the way Illinois is going, I wouldn't be surprised if people just you move away from there. Illinois has been facing a the people that live there, I was looking into this a little bit, are moving away, moving out of the state like crazy. There's still immigrants and other people that are moving in, but not people that work, not people that can pay taxes. Those are not the people that are moving into that state for the most part. And so NRA has picked up, I guess, a lawsuit to try to protect the citizens there. We will see.
I don't remember, what was it, Jason, a year or two ago, Pennsylvania tried something like that too, and they set deadlines and hardly anybody turned their weapons in, and then they threatened and they set another deadline, and hardly anybody turned their weapons in, and then they set another deadline, and finally they tried to get it just to fade away, I think, out of the news, because it don't, you know, it comes a point that you're going to follow God's law or man's law, and the lines are being drawn. I read an article this morning too about a ruling that came in of a judge in Massachusetts, and the judge ruled that AR-15s are not protected by the Second Amendment as assault weapons. They're not they're not included in the constitutional protection for the right to bear arms. Oh, really? But the good news is there's people who are deciding that they're not going to follow man's law. They're going to follow God's law, and God's law says that we're to protect ourselves and to protect our families.
Amen.
Yeah, and it was interesting because this week they actually had a rally down in Loveland, Colorado, and I thought, oh, great, another gun rally. And but this one was actually in support of gun rights. You know, they don't put very much of that kind of stuff on the news, but I mean, people gathered together and advertised it, and it was actually in the local paper, the Coloradoan, and you know, they said with all these people that are having these rallies to fight against guns, we're going to have one for guns. And you know, coming from Loveland, Colorado, I thought that was pretty darn good.
Amen.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of those going on too, and you get absolutely zilch media coverage. There's people that are having stuff like that all the time, and it's very obvious what's going on is that, you know, that they're trying to put out that everybody's against guns. Everybody's against guns. You know, they're trying to control the masses. Because the masses have that herd mentality. They don't want to be, you know, seen as different or anything like that. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there, and it's not just people that I talk to. It's people that talk to people that I talk to. Sometimes it's amazing how many people that you run into that are fighting against this thing. And they're all over the place. You know, it's pretty obvious that they are the majority of the people that are fighting against it, and they've completely portrayed something completely different on the news.
Absolutely right about that. Have you heard of, we all heard about the students, the high school students, you know, from Ellen to The View to everybody's talking about just how great these high school students protesting, walking out of class, you know, protesting gun violence. But you're right, Jason, there's many, that even high schools that are doing it. Woodland Park High School down in Colorado Wednesday had a peaceful walkout for the same thing. Said the school allotted 30 minutes for the students to hold their demonstration, and the walkout included as much as they'll let them do, a moment of silence for the victims of the school shootings. And got this quote here from Anna Delaney, a junior down at Rockledge High School, and says, I'm pro-Second Amendment. I wouldn't mind deeper background checks, of course, but the Second Amendment will not be infringed upon. And I think it is encouraging to hear at least things like that come from students. Now, that's here in Colorado. In Brevard County down in Florida were just a couple of notes that I found. Same thing. You have you had about 75 students that are doing the same thing, having a pro-Second Amendment walkout, saying, hey, we know that guns and God gave us these freedoms. I saw a sign from one of their walkouts there. And it says, many students were wearing Make America Great Again hats, and many were very critical of the Safety Act that was passed, which Florida did, which I believe raised the age from 18 to 21 for them to be able to buy firearms and
long guns,
yeah, rifle purchases, and so you're right, Jason. It is encouraging to see that, you know, we are seeing, when you watch the media, when you look at the magazines that have come out, the media magazines since then, you're seeing a very small percentage, a minority viewpoint, and not the viewpoint of the majority. But, you know, who gets the grease, the quiet wheel or the squeaky wheel? And you know, that's what gets the attention, seems to anyway, is the, you know, the ones that are yelling the loudest.
Yeah. Well, that's why they had to take over the media.
That's right. You know, Luke, let me turn it over there. Luke 11, I think it's 11:21. Read a scripture this morning. Folks, if you're listening in and wondering where this kind of stuff comes from, Luke 11:21 says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed. Now, you have to think about that in the concept that it was given, but also in the concept of today, because these words are timeless, so they certainly apply today as much, if not more, than when they were given. Verse 22 says, but when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. And so, a strong man, fully armed, guards your own house, your possessions are undisturbed. So if you want your possessions to be undisturbed, whether it's your home and your physical possessions, whether it's your wife and daughters and children, well, you need to be strong and you need to be fully armed. It is really as simple as that. We've got a little gun control packet. I'll put a little blurb in for it right here, since it's what we're talking about. The book Pastor did years ago called Everything You Wanted to Know and Preachers Were Afraid to Tell You About Gun Control. And it goes from scriptures just to absolute facts, truths, facts, quotes, from those that want to take your gun. This is nothing new. This did not just come up in 2018. It has been part of the an ungodly agenda for a long time. But we'll include that. You get that booklet and the four CDs that the pastor did that tie in with the booklet. And we've also got a very interesting book, fact-filled book from Colonel Jack Moore. It's called Firearms and Freedom. And it will give you great insight into the thoughts of the founding fathers, is one of the things that it does in regard to firearms. And so we'll throw all that together, mail it to you for a $20 donation. It's actually about a $30 value, but we're continuing to get these truths, get these facts out to the remnant. So if you'd like the gun control packet, you can contact us. We'll send it out to you. It's great reading. It is good information to have if you haven't seen it in a while or heard the messages in a while. It really is. We need to be our own squeaky wheel, so to speak, even if it's just in the people that we see. so that we can let them know that being armed and protecting yourself is as Christian as loving your neighbor as yourself. I really think it is.
Yeah, something I found interesting too. I was reading about it yesterday. One of the headlines, not in the mainstream media, but in some of the other media, was Hillary Clinton visits Witches Coven in Manhattan.
Wow.
And that was on Tuesday night, April 3rd, 2018.
I thought that's where she lived.
Yeah, I read one of the comments. It was funny, and he goes, well, why wouldn't she visit? I'm sure she gets free parking for her broom.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. But anyways, it's actually real serious. When you think of the date, the date was April 3rd. That's just a day after Passover, but it's also the day that the world sees, you know, as Good Friday, when or when Jesus Christ was, it's the day that they consider that Jesus Christ was crucified. So this women's club called The Wing is an elite women's club, and it says on their own website, The Wing describes itself as a network of co-working and community spaces designed for women. The Wing's mission is a professional civic, social, and economic advancement of women through community. We believe that the act of coming together as women creates new opportunities, ideas, and conversations that will lead to greater mobility and prosperity for womankind. And like I said, it's an elitist group. It's pretty pricey for a full membership. It's $2,700 a year, but they had a link to it, so I kind of went over there just to see what some of the stuff is. And one of the first pictures you see is this Jezebel female dog that the title under it is, "Let me give you fair warning. I'll always win against the patriarchal male." And then on the club's Instagram account, it says, "The Wing identifies itself as something more than just a feminist club, but a witch's coven." It says, "The Wing is a co-working of community space for women. We're not a sorority. We're a coven." And then The Wing's founder, CEO Audrey Gelman, who was the 2008 Hillary Clinton presidential campaign press aide, her own description says, "I'm like any modern woman trying to have it all. I just wish I had more time to seek out the dark forces and join their hellish crusade." So, pretty telling, that's for sure. But I think she went to visit this witch's coven to possibly try to gain power, as she's very close to destruction. I think it's you know, Lord keeps answering our prayers that the things in the dark would be brought to the light. I think a good example of that is the new movie Chappaquiddick. I haven't seen that yet, but it appears that that may expose a lot of the corruption and the murder that was involved with that case. So,
yeah, I saw a note regarding that movie that there were a lot of powerful people that didn't want that movie made, didn't want that story told. Haven't seen the movie either. Haven't seen a preview to see how they present it, knowing that it's Hollywood. It sure will be Hollywooded up, but you're right, John. The truths are coming out. The things that were done in the dark, that have been covered up, the Bible says they will come to light, and they are. Have you heard any about our our big caravan of southern visitors that are taking a little walk about to come visit us? You know, the 1,500, they call them families, but all the pictures I've seen, the majority of them have been young and middle-aged men coming up from from Guatemala and Central America, walking across Mexico, headed to the to our southern border. Refugee Caravan 2018, Via Crucis, Migrantes en la Lucha. If I spoke Spanish and knew what that meant, it might mean something. But that's what their little banner that they have. I know the president had come out and had been talking with the president of Mexico along the lines of, you need to stop it down there. I haven't heard anything the last couple of days about it. I didn't know, Jason, if you'd heard maybe or John heard any more about that.
Yeah, he said, well, the president, once he got word that, you know, they were about halfway through Mexico, and Mexico was handing them bottles of water and fanning them with palm branches and meeting their every need, he told them, if you want to see the end of NAFTA, then you go ahead and let them come on to the border. But unless you disperse that group right now, he says, that'll be the end of NAFTA. And NAFTA is really what gave Mexico any type of a chance as far as economic recovery.
What exactly is NAFTA? That was part of the NAFTA and GATT deal, right?
Yeah. I think it was when we opened up trade with Mexico and basically shipped probably 80% of the U.S. auto industry to Mexico, not only just the manufacturing of the automobiles, but all of the parts. It's really probably one of the biggest things that destroyed Detroit, brought Ohio to its knees, definitely hurt
Pittsburgh
and several of the other states that were big auto producers and parts producers. But
right.
The good news is a lot of that's coming back, a lot of it.
Yeah, that North American Free Trade Agreement, that's what it did. It basically, as far as trade goes, it opened the borders. You know, one of the big problems that that it still has is that it allows the for instance the Mexican truck drivers to drive across the border with their truckloads of goods, and originally they're only supposed to be able to go to border cities. You know, they can drive the truck across the border, deliver the goods, and then they're supposed to go back. But that's been bumped up and extended. I think they have 100 miles now that they can drive in the country to deliver their goods, because some cities aren't on the border and blah blah blah. Well, you wonder why we're getting, you know, 3,000 to 9,000 illegal aliens coming across the border every month, and you don't think that ties into part of it. You know, how many times you see the headlines, you know, the truck found full of migrants, or, you know, false bottom, or saw a video one time last year of a trailer being taken apart. And the trailer had been taken apart in Mexico, and instead of the walls, it was an insulated, tractor trailer, a reefer-type tractor trailer. And instead of there being insulation in the walls, it was all drugs. It was all heroin and marijuana. In the walls of the trailer had been completely taken apart, the insulation taken out, and then the walls stuffed with heroin. Now, just imagine how much heroin and marijuana that would be. And how many times that's been done? This was one that was caught, and those trucks.
Well, the thing is you look at a lot of those drugs that they've confiscated, and if you track them back to where they came from our government.
Yeah. The old MENA Arkansas connections.
Yeah. Yep. Well, the government is the ones that have passed the NAFTA that allow this to happen, and so. So yeah, but that NAFTA is, yeah, that's what destroyed our manufacturing. It's cheaper down there. They don't tell you that, but that's what it is. It's cheaper down there. Child labor laws non-existent, unions non-existent,
The big deal about a lot of that is the reason that it's so much cheaper down there and a lot of other places is because of the EPA regulations.
It is. Yeah, didn't we talk last week about the family that went to California? John, wasn't that friends of yours? And tried to go out on the beach, and the beach was closed because Mexico was dumping their raw sewage in the river that flowed right down the beach. right down into the beach and into the ocean.
Yep.
And
right down the ocean to the beach.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's exactly what happens. They and you have countries that are closed down or companies closed down here, and then go there in the so-called carbon footprint and the emissions are 10, 100, 1,000 times worse down there with no regulation. But that's better. That's better. It's, and again, it's all part of that agenda that the media is part of. It is part of doing the will of their father, who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And
well, it's also the love of money, the greed. I mean, the reality is it's not cheap to move your company to Mexico, and it's even more expensive to move your company to China. Plus the fact that typically if you have proprietary patents and things like that on your products, the Chinese are known for stealing them left and right, reproducing them and selling them at a fraction of the cost. But the only ones that win in those situations are the business owners. And you know, there used to be a time, I think there at least was at some point in this country, where even the business owners cared somewhat, at least a little bit, about their workers and their families and their livelihood. And then came along this generation of those who care nothing about their employees or about the conditions that they work in or whether they have a job, whether they can put food on the table, and all they cared about was being the next billionaire. And actually that move of industry to China did create a lot of billionaires, but it's just a different mindset.
Amen to that.
Well, a different mindset, and then another thing too is you see the people that do care about treating their employees good and taking care of them, their biggest complaint anymore is finding decent help. Help that's not going to rip them off, that's going to do what they're saying that they're going to do, people that show up on time, that, that they don't have to micromanage and keep an eye on all the time. I mean, that's hard to find, too. I talked to quite a few business owners, and that's their number one complaint is they can't find good help. They can't find somebody that's going to do what they say that they're going to do, that they're going to show up on time, that they're going to get their work done, that they're going to be honest with them. And, I'm talking with a concrete guy the other day, and he decided, I'm retiring early. I'm done. I can't find good help. And it's really sad too. I mean, it's sad on both sides of the coin, but I mean,
somebody won't leave for 50 cents.
Yeah, exactly.
After you train them and after you invest, time and money, in a lot of professions, you invest in time and money in educating them to learn how to do the job. And in other cases, probably more than any, you're investing your time in teaching them the skills of the trade, teaching them the tricks of the trade, and how to be the best at what they're doing. But in an economy like this, when everything's crazy, I mean, it's crazy, people are willing to pay a high dollar, and people will leave for 50 cents an hour after you've spent invested all that time and money in them. And but what they don't realize is the times don't stay that way always. And the good employers, even when things are slower, they'll make sure that you have some work, at least that you'll be able to put food on the table. And it's just, the world mentality. Well, I'm going to go out and make as much money as I can right now, and then I'll worry about tomorrow. And unfortunately, in years like 2008, through probably 2012, there was some lean times where people may have left their job that they had years of seniority in just to go and make a buck. And after that crash, they were laid off and left out in the cold.
Yep.
Yeah, again, it's far different from back when this country was a manufacturing company, and the steel mills in Pennsylvania were working, and the mills and the factories and the manufacturing was there, to where when Dad came back from World War II, that's where he went to work, and he had children, and when his sons got of age, that's where they went to work, and you had generations that. You know, in those 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, into the late 70s and even the early 80s, that you had generations that, apprenticed and followed in their father's footsteps, because they saw, you know, him get up and work 40, 50 hours a week and be able to make it. And that's what many of the children did. And it was a success. But again, that's not that doesn't follow the agenda of the left. It doesn't follow the agenda of the Antichrist. And it was in the mid to late 70s that we saw the manufacturing just start shutting down. The rise of the EPA that you mentioned earlier, Jason, did its part. It's been a multifaceted attack, this war on America, And it's been going on for at least 40 years just in the manufacturing area. And we see the result of it now, to where it's just out of the people's realm of ideas, of their thought. They don't even think about, finishing high school, maybe a year or two of trade school, and going to work. It's just a minority of people that do that. I spoke with a woman last night, and I say a woman, she's got to be in her mid late 30s. Just finish school. Hey, finishing school in 2 weeks, great. You know, with her 4-year degree, great. What are you doing? Going back to school for my master's. And just this perpetual being in school all the time, for 10, 12 years. Just putting on, and she even said, "Yeah," she said, "that way I don't have to get a job for another couple of years." And I just don't understand that mentality. I don't.
Yeah, well, you see, I see a lot of these young kids that are working for entrepreneurs, who started businesses maybe somewhere in the 5 to 10, maybe even 15 years ago, and they see that they're doing well, they're driving nice cars, they have nice houses, they're not lacking for much, and they're like, well, how come they pay me so little? And I'm like, well, I got news for you. To get to the point where he's at right now, he had to spend long days.
Yes.
And long nights.
Yes.
I remember when I had my body shop back in the east there, I was 19 when I started that shop, and back in the day, all of our friends were, hanging out at parties and things like that. Well, me and my business partner, make sure you clarify that these days, me and my business partner, we were, 3 o'clock in the morning, we're out sleeping on the cardboard boxes in between paint coats, painting cars. But that's what it takes to make a business, make it. The ones that, they say only, I think, 2 in 10 actually make it these days, but it's those that are willing to put in the time and put in the work and pay their dues. I can't even remember how many cars we did for insurance people and things like that, at a substantial discount, just in order to get your name out there, they start to see the quality of the work that you did. And we were losing money, for a long time. Both of us were doing other jobs or whatever it was that we needed to do to pay our bills, but then that hard work pays off, and eventually there's a turning point where all of a sudden, that business becomes prosperous. But they don't see that. They see, right. Look at you, she's making money hand over fist. Why doesn't he share it with me? Well, got news for you. You got to earn it too. And if you want to be in that position, then you got to pay the dues just like they did.
Amen. And that's lost on society today. It's lost on this second generation now, that it's lost on this. You know, we've talked before about the mentality of this entitlement generation. Well, now they're having children. Their children are coming into the workforce, this entitlement generation, that, you know, that feel that very same way, John, that, well, hey, you got it. I deserve it, too. I deserve it. I deserve. And, you know, you don't. If you're not, like you said, John, if you're not willing to figure out what it is you can do, and then be good at it, and then be better at it, and then put in the time and the effort, then you don't deserve it. I think that's one of the leading pushes at this, you know, the colleges, now the universities, and even the elementary schools, all the way down to that, are pushing and teaching this white privilege. I remember when the first one of those classes came out years ago, we talked about it. Well, now it's just standard. It's just standard. And it is that, you know, that hey, everybody deserves this. The white people get it just because they're white. Or now it's even Christian privilege. Oh, Christians get it because you're free to worship. It's just a senseless diatribe that comes out. But it's hard work. It is the Christian work ethic, not Judeo-Christian, no, a Christian work ethic, a hard work ethic, of doing the best you can, putting in the time and the effort. You know, that's what founded this country, was people working and wanting to do better and not standing there with their hand out. And it just seems to be lost on many in this, not all, but many in this generation. You know, Jason, like you said, you know, employers, you have people that are, there's work out there. How many times do we hear that? There's work out there, but finding somebody that'll pass a drug test, that'll be there every day, that'll be there on time, that's the tricky part.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you guys see a pretty good indication that Parkland shooting in Florida was a false flag? Not saying that people didn't die and not saying that there weren't real shots fired, but the fact that the permits for that March for Life
they were filed in advance.
Months ahead of time. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Figure that one out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, you look at the crowds that gathered for that thing. I mean, there was, based on these pictures, I mean, it looks like hundreds of thousands.
And they were paid $300 a piece by Soros also.
Yeah.
Were they?
Yeah, you wonder what, you know, so the march was in D.C. How do students, you know, think about it, John, how would your students get there to march? You know? We were out of town that, you know, leading into that weekend, and we flew back in that Saturday. Saw people in the airport with those March for Life shirts on. They flew in, flew out. We saw them in the regular airports. I saw stories that where there were many private jets were chartered and flew, you know, flew students and sometimes their parents from different parts of the country to D.C. For that march. You know, you don't throw that together in a couple of days, those type things. Even to get tickets, you know how it is. You know, if you try to get flight tickets, you know, within just a week or so of a flight and try to plan that, the closer you get to the flight, the more expensive the tickets get. It was not just something that came together. From 15 and 16 year olds.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, a news article this week caught my eye. Haven't had a chance to talk to you about it, but I thought that I thought you might know something about this. But it's in a worldview. But it says that the China is on a path to repeat what Japan did after the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And this is from generationaldynamics.com. And, you know, in light of, we saw a lot of tariffs being placed this last week. The President Trump's administration put tariffs on like 1,300 products from, electronics to medical devices. And then China retaliated this past Wednesday, but put tariffs on 106 items, mainly agricultural items. And so just reading through it, I won't read through the whole thing. But anyway, it just talked about how this was very similar to what happened back in the 1930s when there was a tariff act that was put on. And basically, if I read it right, was it was very devastating to Japan. It cut off Japan's exports to America of silk. And that was Japan's greatest cash crop back in 1930, leading up to the 30s. You have to remember, Japan was not nearly as industrialized up until that time. And so this goes on that says that this, this Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930 devastated Japan's silk industry to where Japan felt that it had to, it invaded Manchuria to be able to, to be able to have enough food to feed its people, for one thing. And that just led into changes that happened in Japan to where, they invaded Manchuria. And then as they continued to grow and expand, that, it led up just 10 years later to the oil embargo that the nations put on Japan. And of course, that led right into World War II. And not saying Japan was a victim, but it's just that's what was happening. And I just thought it was interesting how they were comparing, this article compared that it looks like China could be on that same path if it can't find a product a home for the products that it develops, and then of course import the food that it needs. Saw an interesting thing here. Says,
the president
said that one more thing, and I'll give it
China
to you.
Said he was.
Yeah. Was what? No, go ahead, John.
Well, the president of China said that they would stop at nothing to fight these tariffs. Basically, that they're pulling out all the stops, and then you can see now that Chinese Navy carriers were carrying out live fire drills with more than 40 warships in the South China Sea, and the U.S. has 3 aircraft carrier battle groups there right now, basically showing a sign of force in that area. That's the North China Sea, I guess, has been disputed. I'm pretty sure that's where, isn't that where China was making the islands?
Yes.
For military bases, and yeah, so, I mean, it's a little bit more than saber rattling these
sure.
days, the things that are going on. You don't hear about it too much in the mainstream media, but there's definitely muscles being flexed. I think President Putin has sent several threats as well. So it's getting interesting.
Yeah. Soybeans were part of this because soybeans are a huge export for the United States agricultural. Some of the numbers in here were pretty wild. It says if China had to import, it has to import enormous amounts of food from other countries. It says they have 7% of the world's farmlands, but they need to feed 20% of the world's people. And so they heavily rely on imports. It says that China imports 60% of the globally traded soybeans in the world, which is about $12 billion worth of American soybeans. $12 billion just of Americans. And it says if China stopped buying American soybeans, it will be almost impossible for them to replace them from another source. They could go to Brazil or Argentina, but then, their prices are going to go up if they have to produce more. And it just talks about how if they continue to purchase them with this tariff, that the cost would be prohibitive for many of the Chinese that that would lead to price inflation, of course, and then price inflation would lead to social instability, and then if China has that, that's what's led the last three revolts in China over the last couple hundred years, is that social instability. And so anyway, it was just very interesting, this article. I had never thought about it that way, but especially with the volume two, that article, John, that you had in there, the coming American war, talking about the cycles, and how we can look back and see when things happened and how things happened and some of the causes leading up to catastrophic events, being wars or embargoes and things like that. And what's the saying? If we don't learn from our history, we're doomed to repeat it. And
yeah, well, you could say that the writing's on the wall. That's for sure.
Yes.
For the next world war on many fronts.
Yes.
I did want to end on a good note. Don't go to see many movies in the theater, but did take my youngest son last night. And so you can only imagine. And it's scary to recommend anything to the remnant, but
yes,
I would recommend going to see that movie. It was pretty phenomenal. The things I got out of it was, one, God can convert anyone and save them from their life of wickedness, no matter how deep they are in that thrall.
Amen.
Two, what you can see, it's about the lead singer of Mercy Me who wrote that song, I Can Only Imagine. And if you haven't heard it, you should listen to it. Listen to the words, at least. Very, very powerful song. And I think it shows that this man was given talent. He had God-given talent. But something was hindering him, and that what was hindering him was his bitterness and his unforgiveness towards his father for the things that happened to him in his younger years. And then you'll see, I don't want to give away the movie, but bottom line is, once he got rid of that bitterness and unforgiveness, and once he came to that place of humility, and once he basically cried out to the Lord revealed to him, he said, he wrote that song in 10 minutes.
Wow.
And then he wrote the music in 10 minutes. But in reality, it took a lifetime through all of the things that he experienced. And it's just an excellent movie. And, I've been praying for several years that the Lord would remove the crust on my heart that the world's put there. And we all have it.
Amen.
And when you pray that, and that, you know, the Lord would soften your heart, you tend to tear up a little bit easier than you used to. And that's not a sign of weakness, though. That's a sign of compassion. That's a sign of grace, and, you know, that you have grace and mercy, and that you can see the pain and the suffering in others, and that your desire is to do whatever you can to help set them free. You know, just like we've said many a time, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he roams like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And he's a coward. He'll always attack the weak ones. And a lot of times that weakness is women and children, but sometimes that weakness is addictions, alcohol and drugs and pornography and all these other things, a door that's open that allows Satan legal ground to operate in their lives. And once you figure that out, that it also says that Jesus came to bring life, and not just any life, but life abundantly.
Yes.
So if you're one of his and you don't have that life abundantly, then it's because the evil one's stolen it. And once you figure out how he's stolen it, once you figure out the door that you opened that gave Satan the legal ground to operate in your life, and you repent and you close that door, then you will see that God, there's only one thing that God can't do, and that is lie. And you will find that he keeps his promises, and you will have that life abundantly. But I would recommend going to see the movie and take your whole family to see it too.
Amen. You know, John, I was thinking as you were saying that about you know, growing and having your heart softened. You know, I think about those fishermen, the first apostles, the first disciples. You know, when I've known fishermen. My dad had a good friend that was a fisherman, and they talk about, you know, sailors. They talk about them right, rough, hard drinking, hard talking, hard people, hard. And not just you know, hard hands, but hard hearts. And you know, those disciples and apostles were that way. But after 3 years with Jesus, you think they were still that way? And I say no, they weren't. They grew, you know, they grew in understanding, and I think they grew, as you said, John, in compassion. I think we should be doing that same thing. We should. Well, guys, we're just about out of time. I thought we had a good broadcast. Folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll invite you to church. We're going to have, good Lord willing, doesn't look like the creek's going to rise. We're not getting rain like Northern California is. And so should have the roads open. We'll make church tomorrow. We'll plan on starting out about 8:30 in the morning Mountain. That'll be 9:30 Central and 10:30 Eastern. And so we encourage you to join us there. Have your communion ready. And we will partake of communion. We'll have a communion service as well, a timeless pulpit truth. And you know, the one of the blessings that continues to flow is that because we had a prophet in our midst, that the messages that we're able to go back and see and look at again and learn from, we see how they've come true. Messages sometimes from 30 years ago or from 15 years ago, how we see how when we've grown that they grow with us, and so we encourage you to be there. We'll also, Brother John, have a live message for you. Looking forward to that. Always look forward to those, and we'll have some good music. And again, it's a way our pastor saw years ago. It was a way for you to be able to not forsake the assembly. It was a way for that our pastor saw for the remnant to be able to come together with like-minded Christians. In fellowship, in praise, in worship, in communion, even if it is over the internet or over the shortwave. And so it was a vision that he had, and thank God that vision continues to go out, and that's because of your support. Well, men, have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow at church.
Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating,
Our king will be waiting at the end.